Okay, I've got a problem now. I just left my phone there, so I cannot check the time. So I'm so... Sit down, thank you. I'm serious. I normally bring my phone up here to check the time, and now I haven't. So please help me with the time tonight, okay? So welcome, everybody. It's great to see you here on a Monday night. And it's a great honor for me to be here. And I really love this church, and I mean it. I hope you will feel my bandages and my oil when I say that. I really love this church. And so good to be amongst you, and had a great time today with some of the brothers here and so forth. And your pastor is, like I always say, so equipped in the Word of God. And I wish I can be in this region and just being off like my dear brother there and just come and listen to him every Sunday. Okay, before we're going to go into the Word tonight, I want to ask you again a huge favor, and that is to partner with our ministry this year for 2 months. We never do permanent partnership. I don't know how many of you saw what recently when the South African president was at the White House, and the videos they showed, which is not good. If somebody light a match in South Africa in the wrong way, they can have destruction and hatred. Pastor can probably, from an American perspective, explain it a little bit more. Maybe you should say something just for 1 minute, what you saw. I don't know. But it's not good. And I am flying to South Africa 2 weeks from tonight. But I want to ask you to help us November, December. I will be there November in speaking to prepare the ground for maybe an uproom in South Africa. Next week, I have a Zoom call with many, many leaders regarding South Africa. And on the one hand, I'm so grateful my daughter is not there anymore. On the other hand, I have a responsibility towards that nation. So if you can partner with us November and December, would you be so kind and just fill in a little card for me real quick? I always do this in the meeting. I don't do this in every church, to be honest with you. I only do it in a church where I really feel comfortable, that the people understand my heart. If you can raise your hand and just fill in the card, and it's for 2 months. If you put down there $20, we will consider it 20 per month. So this gentleman will give you a little card. Fill it out real quick. Write in English, not Greek or Hebrew, and take this one piece at the end, tear it off, and just keep it in your Bible if you want to. And you will get letters from us regarding this. You will maybe get a welcome letter, but you will not hear from us again. So if you receive any mail from me, apart from November and December, call the pastor and tell him he did not keep his word. I'm very serious, you know. I respect the local church. I cannot take advantages of the local church. I am building the kingdom. I'm not destroying the kingdom. So just for 2 months, thank you. I will be in Africa November, December. My tickets is already being bought. We do it way ahead of time in order to get the best prices. South Africa is in trouble. If something goes wrong there, they can have a war. They will kill white people. You probably saw some of the white people that Mr. Trump opened up America for them. I think 49 of them arrived a few weeks ago, and another few of them arrived a week ago. And some hate them for coming to America. Some call them cowards. Even the president of South Africa said they are cowards. We've got a recording of that. Nobody's a coward when you see your children is in danger. So pray for South Africa. This is what you're giving into to send me back there. And take bread for my brothers, like a Joseph. Amen? So fill in the amount that you want to give. If you don't like our numbers, you can write a number in there that you want to give per month. And again, it's only for 2 months. The moment you filled in the card, would you be so kind? And just raise your hand again. I think I'm going to ask another brother to help us here. Otherwise, this poor man is going to run all over this place. The moment you filled it in, we'll pick it up. And I greatly appreciate it. And thank you for allowing me to do this. You know, sometimes we are focused in these meetings on us, but sometimes we need to shift the focus just a little bit away to other people that also need the Lord. And I have this responsibility. Kim Clement, who many of you heard about, prophesied to me in the early 90s when he spoke to me about America. And he said to me, you will have a major responsibility to South Africa for the rest of your life. It's written into the mandate. He prophesied it to me. That was before I even came to America the first time. So, and this is what this is all about. This is the fulfillment of what even Kim prophesied over my life. Thank you so much. Just raise your hand. We'll pick it up. Thank you, ma'am. Aaron, you need to run, brother. Thank you. Remember to tear off. Thank you, Dr. Brassfield. Thank you. I'm honored to have great men of God like him sitting here to come and listen to me. I don't know what I have to say. I'm in trouble. And I had a tough day today in a good sense. I was in the Word of God, and man, I have so many things I want that's stirred in my spirit. So we'll see what will come out in a minute. Anybody over here, if you have a card, just raise your hand. We'll pick it up. There's a card there. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate you. I wish I can say a personal word of thanks to every one of you. There's one in the back. Thank you, sir. I think it's your son-in-law, Pastor Brown. Finally, he's giving something. I knew I'm going to stir when I say that. I have a way of saying things which is not always godly, but it's still enjoyable. even that is not correct. I love the humor. I love this region. I love the people. And I'm always dreaming about a piece of land in this area when I come here. So thank you. Anybody still busy? Okay. Aaron, just give me my water here and just take the lid off. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How many of you remember what we started with yesterday morning? We started with identity, authority, and power. We spoke about what a word this is that the Lord brought there in Luke chapter 4. And then we ended up talking about the identity of Christ, and we spoke a little bit about how the demons in Luke 4 and the demons in Mark 5 both came to Jesus and said, we know who you are, and how they identified Jesus. And you know, I was in the Word today and I was thinking about what shall I bring to this church tonight. And then I realized that when I bring the Word, it is a two-edged sword. And as much as it cuts into your spirit, it cuts back into my spirit. And yesterday morning was one of those. And then last night we spoke about bandages, oil and wine, bowel, and how we need to have that. But today, my spirit is going back. And when I listen to the conversations, I hear the word echo, echo, echo in the conversations popping up. And then I realize, but I experience the same thing in my spirit. And this afternoon, I thought, Lord, I need to prophesy. I want to lay hands on people. So what I want to just call this tonight, and maybe I'm just going to spend 10 or 15 minutes into this. I don't know. And it's almost like I hear the Holy Spirit is saying, intensifying the identification. Intensify your own identification. Now, not your own personal identification. Remember, we spoke yesterday morning about how the demons identify Jesus. I started the morning by saying that if I put a traffic cop on my right hand side, somebody that is just working on the highways, put him here with his car, and I put a policeman here dressed up, you will immediately identify. And the moment you identify, this is authorities, policemen, two words come to your spirit, authority and power. Now, I'm not talking about policemen and traffic cops. I'm talking about Jesus. And then we spoke about how the demons in Luke 4 and Mark 5, both cases and in other cases as well, the moment every time they see Jesus, they identify. They identify more than just a cop. It's not a policeman. They identify. Why do they identify him so quickly? They know who he is because both of them said, "We know who you are. You are the Son of God." And sometimes my heart just desires that the church will be that quick to identify Jesus is Lord. Period. We do not negotiate on that statement. And then this afternoon, I was contemplating with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord said to me, "Son, you are now living in the day of identification. And we need to intensify to identify." You say, "Well, that sounds like a theological statement." No. When you think of the world today, the wars, when you think of Israel, when you think of Hamas, when you look at the universities in America, when you look at the uproar, what's going on in the universities, what is going on? They hate the Jew who brought us salvation. His name is Jesus. Come on. Israel is in the center of everything that's happening today. And it's almost like it's intensifying. And even in America, when you look at gender confusion, what is it? It has to do with identity. And there's an identity war. And everybody wants to put an identity on a pedestal and say, "This is fine, and this is acceptable, and this is acceptable, and I'm a this, and I'm a this." There's confusion because there's hatred against the identification, Jesus. So now the evil spirits will come and try and bring something on the scene to challenge who he is. And I was just thinking about this whole thing this afternoon, and Hamas and the Jewish and the wars and what is going on, and even in America. I mean, 2 weeks ago they killed Jewish people in New York brutally, and the one young man belonged to a strong leader in Israel who helped a certain group. Receiving groups into Israel and taking them on tours. And then the Lord laid on my heart Mark chapter 14, and I try to get away from Mark chapter 14, and I want to go into something else, and I come back to Mark chapter 14. And in Mark chapter 14, we have Jesus in the house of a leper, and it's about two days, three days before the crucifixion. And here you have the greatest identity the world has ever seen, Jesus the Savior. He's 33 years plus a few months, weeks old. He's in this house. And when you read verse 1 and 2, you will notice that the scribes were there. There were religious agendas in that house. And the crucifixion is coming. And then you have a woman there, and you know the story so well. She had an alabaster flask of oil. And some reckon the oil, if you do a little bit of study, you will find out the oil was probably worth over $50,000. You say, well, she's going to break that? Well, she did. And then you wonder, what make her give away that kind of oil? And I don't want to go into where the oil come from and the process that was behind the scenes to produce that oil. Because the process to crush the leaves to get that oil, that is a whole sermon on its own. But now she has it in one alabaster flask. It could be a retirement fund. It could be the annual salary for a whole year. But now she decided, I'm going to break this flask, and I'm going to pour it out on one person only, and that is Jesus. What is she doing? She's identifying who deserves it. And we can take the oil and the fragrance, and we can talk about the fragrance and how the fragrance went up into the nostrils of Judas, who was in the house, and how the fragrance go up the nostrils of Jesus. And even that is a sermon on its own, because the smell of worship that we had tonight is a smell that we love. But the world, when they smell our worship, it irritates them. And I don't want to go into that either, but because there's a huge sermon that I can bring to you about the victory march that a Roman general normally got when he won the war and what happened there, and it's huge. The Word of God is so layered and so rich that you can spend hours just on one revelation. And again, it's like I said yesterday, it's like a diamond, and we try to appraise the value, and the more you appraise the value of the Scripture, the more comes out of the Scripture. And but so here she is, she identifies the moment, and she realized in her spirit, if I don't do it now, I will be too late 2 days from now, because he's going to be crucified. And I want to say to all of us, may the Lord help us to intensify our identification of who we serve. Come on, I wish I can preach this to the whole America and all the pastors. We need to intensify our identification of what we're doing. I need to intensify who he is, so that when I preach, I paint you a picture of who he really is. And so here she is, she broke the flask, and then we can talk about the oil that is now in the hair of Jesus and all over him. And I believe that 2-3 days later, when he hung on the cross, he still smelled her worship. Because in the bloody mess and the pain, he smelled her worship. Not only that, he smelled that she identified who he was. He knew, if there's one person who understood who I was, it was that woman. And I pray that this will be a church that God will say, they have identified who I am. Those people in Heber Springs and the region identified who Jesus is. And I don't even really know where I'm going with this tonight, because I'm just speaking as the Lord is stirring me up. And so Jesus got anointed with that oil, and immediately, I believe in her spirit, there was a release. You know, her giving was huge, because there was criticism for that giving. I mean, if somebody come and throw $50,000 on the head of somebody who's going to die within 2 days, you're going to say, well, what a waste of money. He cannot even use it. He's going to die 2 days from now. It's not what he's going to do with the money. It is the revelation in her spirit. That is what counts. It's not what I give. She realized, and I pray that we will all become worshipers that will do something, not because we were asked to do it, but because we were led and inspired to do it. Because before she did it, she must have contemplated, will I, shall I, could I, should I? Many years ago, I had a businessman who came to me, and he said to me, Andre, why are you so running so strongly? You need to spend some time in business and generate money for your family. This is many years ago. And he did not understand why I'm intense with what I do. But you see, his identification of Jesus and my identification of Jesus is two different identifications. And he died at the age of 59. He was a wealthy man, but he died at the age of 59. And then another businessman came to me and said, Andre, why don't you come back to South Africa and we will help you with business, another one. And they don't understand me, you see, and I don't understand them, because when you identify, that determines what everything you do will show what you identify. Come on. And so here we have Jesus, and then they criticized and they said they could have given the money to the poor. And then Jesus stood up and Jesus said, let her alone. What she has done, she has done. She came beforehand to anoint me for burial. Jesus said it. What he actually said is, she act prophetically. She act prophetically. And I want to say, let everything we do should have a prophetic edge to it. We don't live in the aftermath. We live with what we discern is coming. And so Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, it will be told about this woman. Now, because she identified Jesus, I speak now of the echo of her life. You remember yesterday morning when Jesus' identity, when he operates, authority and power can be seen. And then the echo went out. The word, the Bible says, the report went out into the surrounding areas. That word report is the word echo. The echo went out. And what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about her echo. That we are now discussing the echo of her identification of who Jesus is. And that's why I'm saying to all of you, when we identify who Jesus is, and we do, and we all know who Jesus is, we all read the Bible, but let us pray that God will give us a deeper revelation of who he is. Every day we should enrich ourselves in a greater and greater and greater revelation of who he is. Now, she identified him, and immediately after Jesus said what this woman has done, in verse 10 it says, and Judas Iscariot. Oh my goodness. So now we jump from something positive to something extremely negative. So immediately Judas, you see, the moment you identify, that's where we are today. We are in an extreme moment of identification. We have Israel, we have Hamas, we have conflicts in America against the Jewish people. What it is, it's not the Jewish people, it's because of one Jew, and his name is Jesus. We are in an identification moment again, and there are Judases that is rising up, and they're going to make a terrible mistake, because what happened here is Jesus will die. So the identity of all identities will die. But the moment he, because this is now Friday, he's going to die. Saturday was a silent Saturday 2,000 years ago. It was a silent Saturday, but it was not really silent because Jesus showed his authority on the earth when the demons came and said, "We know who you are." But then Jesus said, "You're going to make a huge mistake when you crucify me, because I have an appointment to demonstrate authority and power on the silent Saturday. And I'm not going to do it in the face of demons on the earth. I'm going to go down to the pit of hell, and I'm going to take the keys of death." Come on, church. Come on, church. Don't mess with the identity. Because the identity is not only to drive a demon out here and drive a demon out here, but he even went down to hell. And what did he do? He took the sting out of death. He took the keys from Satan. And what is he doing? He's showing hell his authority and his power. And this afternoon I said, "Lord Jesus, you still are downloading in my spirit more, and I don't even know how to say it." So I wrote down a few things here. So Jesus, Mary confirmed the Jew. Jesus tried to destroy the Jew. Judas tried to destroy the Jew. But 3 days later, Jesus was resurrected, and when he came back that Sunday morning, the identity shows authority and power on the earth when he spoke with the demons, but the identity went down to hell and he completed the mission after 33 and a half years, and he rose this Sunday morning, and he's saying to you and me, "It's all done, it's all complete." And I want to end this 3 days or these 2 days with saying to you, let the process of intensifying the identity begin. It's now in our university cities. It is in our universities. It's all over the globe. And even in South Africa. South Africa took Israel to the world courts. I don't know whether you realize that. The world court, is that what they call it? The highest court in the world that decide over international matters? A few months ago, they took Israel to the world courts because of what's happening in Gaza. So they turned 100% against the identification. You cannot curse Israel. Because if you curse Israel, that's where the Jew came from. And South Africa is going to pay a price for that. Now, the church in South Africa is not pro-government. The church in South Africa is very pro-Israel. But all I'm saying to you tonight is, why are you here? You are here because you know we're going to talk about Jesus. You are here because you identify, we are living in an hour where we need to know who we serve. Because there is, in general, this confusion amongst people. There's confusion amongst human beings, who they are and who God made them to be. And if the church is not strong in identifying Jesus as Lord, and Jesus is Lord over all, and then the church cannot allow that confusion to come amongst our ranks. And all I want to say to you tonight is, let the image of Jesus shine through you. And when the image of Jesus shines through you, the authority and the power will show. I told you yesterday that, I mentioned it somewhere, that when a plane fly and a plane land and it has 30 passenger seats and they open the doors of the plane and the passengers doesn't come out of the plane, the question is, why did the plane even fly here? Why will God allow his Holy Spirit, who is Jesus without skin on, why will the Holy Spirit land in your heart and the Holy Spirit land on Jesus in you? The moment you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you actually, your life become a landing strip for the Holy Spirit to land on you. And when he comes into your life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit come out of you. And I want to say to everybody here, let Christ show forth his full identity, all the gifts through you and in you, and walk in the authority and the power. And when you walk in the authority and the power, I feel like I really try to get away from that. And even today when I ate with all these men, I was listening what they say, and I said, God, no, not one of them is talking about the bandages. They're all talking about the echo. And then I was sitting there, and that thing of yesterday morning is a two-edged sword is still cutting into my spirit. And this afternoon, I almost went into the Old Testament, and then I went into another direction, and the Lord says, no. You must come back to the identity, because this is what it's all about. And I want to say to each one of you, you cannot have Jesus and not have his authority and his power. It comes with it. And then when that comes, an automatic echo will emerge from your life. We all have an echo. We all have an echo of some sort. Maybe one person's echo is bigger or more intense than somebody else's. It's not who has the greatest echo. It's all about, it's a corporate thing. We are a corporate body, and we carry a corporate echo of Jesus in this region. And my message to you is this. Let the identity of Jesus become more stronger in your life, because people need it. They need to see Jesus in the restaurants. They need to see him in the communities. They need to see him everywhere. Come on. It's like, I think it's in Mark, when Jesus went with the 12 disciples into the ocean, and they caught no fish that night, and Jesus went with them in daylight to catch fish. Do you know that daylight was the wrong time to go out and catch fish? Peter caught nothing that night. He caught no fish, and he was in trouble because he had tax issues. And the Romans were coming, and Jesus said, let's go back into the ocean. So what happened? First, Jesus got into the boat of Peter. He took Peter's business and made it the pulpit. And after he made it the pulpit, he said to Peter, okay, let's take it back into the ocean. So now you have the priest and the businessman, the king, in a business going into the ocean at the wrong time of the day. And they throw out the nets, and the nets causes a shadow, and the shadow scares the fish. But not when the Jew is in the business. What happened? They caught so much fish that it caused a ripple effect. It changed Peter's thinking. It changed the thinking of the 12 disciples, who were 12 kings at that time. And then Jesus showed them money in the ocean they've never seen before. They caught so much fish, they could not eat it all. They had to pay their taxes to the Romans. And then Jesus said, from now on, you will catch men. What did Jesus do? He connected the catch of money to the catch of people. But what happened there? The moment Jesus, the identity, is in the ocean where you normally don't see him, his authority and his power kicks in. And when his authority and his power kicks in, fish comes into the boat that normally don't come into the boat that time of the day, and not that many. Because the Bible says there were two boats, and when the fish came in, the boat sank, but they never drowned. That's a miracle. So the weight of God's goodness is connected to the authority and the power of God. And when that comes in, all you have is you have a greater revelation of who he is. He's the God of the marketplace. He's the God of the church. He's the God of the schools. He's the God of the universities. He's everywhere. And God is going to establish his kingdom in America in a much stronger way than ever before. Come on, church. I am not a politician. I'm nervous when I get into the presence of Alyssa lately. I'm not a politician. But I can tell you one thing. It's not Trump that is in office. It's not Biden that's out of office. It's God busy establishing his image, his identity on America. Because this nation was birthed by God. And I'm saying a lot of things I did not even think I will ever say. But America has a twofold mandate. And that is missions and Israel. And that is the reason, that's the two reasons why God is blessing this nation beyond. Come on, that's why China cannot compare with America. America's always one step ahead. Why? It's not because you are so good. It's because you made two choices, missions and Israel. And God is busy reestablishing. Remember what I said in the beginning? Intensify the identification. The church will have to make a quality decision. It's Jesus more than ever before. It's Jesus and no compromise. So the day of a lukewarm church in America is counted. There's already stirrings in certain regions when it comes to the lukewarm church. Their days are numbered because Jesus is saying, it's my identity and only my identity. I am who I am, and I'm not confused in who I am. And because I am not confused in who I am, and I am not confused in who I made, man and woman, I will establish my identity, for the time has come for authority and power, and the time has come for a global echo that will reach the ends of the earth. And then Jesus will return. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get keyboards? Thank you, sir. How many of you realize it's time that his identity shine through me? And if I have him, I have authority and power. And if that is in place, my echo cannot be stopped. And your echo cannot be stopped. And in the process of showing the world who he is, carry with you bandages, oil, and wine, and you will be exactly who he wants you to be. Father, you've heard me. I have given you my mouth for a few minutes. I have given you my heartbeat. I have given you my thoughts. I have given you the stirring in my spirit. And Lord, I have spoken according to the prompting of your spirit. And Lord, I am speaking to precious people. People, Lord, that doesn't need André Fancel. They just need to identify who you are. And Lord, I know that the echo that will come out of every man or woman hearing this word will honor only one man, and his name is Jesus. They cannot destroy the identification of the Jew. They cannot destroy that identification of the Jewish man that became our Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. And Lord, I thank you that out of these three meetings is birthed something that the ears will hear about. How many of you believe that the ears will hear about what the Holy Spirit has started in you since yesterday morning? Lord, I pray that our children and our children's children, our family, will hear of what God has done in our lives. And I pray that you will attend, intensify and clarify, and that the face of Jesus will become visible over all of us, in all of us, even in our families. And oh, Jesus, I pray that out of Arkansas will come forth the image of Christ Jesus. And people will say there's an echo that was birthed in the hilltops of Arkansas, and it's all about Him. Lord, I decree, I announce, and I pray, Lord, not only did you challenge the demons, but you challenged hell. And when Judas betrayed you, he played right into the hand of God Almighty. And he thought, maybe Judas thought, God will oppose him. God did not oppose him. Kill my boy. Kill my son. You're making a huge mistake. I've got an appointment on Saturday with hell. And when I'm done with hell, I will come back and I will say to my church, all power, all authority belongs to me. And when you use my name, you will drive out demons and you will lay your hands on the sick and I will heal them. And you will walk in my authority and my power. And the world will know that my identity shines through you. And your identity shines through every man or woman in this place. Come on, church. How will they know that Jesus is alive when they look at us? And Father, I pray tonight that you will just take this. And you, oh, come on, church. Somebody need to worship the Lord now. Come on. I've said enough. I've said enough. Somebody need to worship the Lord now. Can I just get some worship out of the pews? Can I just get some people that will just come on. Can I get the praise team back here? Help me quickly. Can I get the praise team back? How many of you feel like you wanna allow the identity of Jesus in you to show? How many of you would love to walk into a restaurant and the people see Jesus when you walk in? You can never be Jesus, but you can always show Him forth. Come on, come on. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. We just need to worship the Lord. Everybody, just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. You know, I feel like it's not only for an individual. I feel like the Lord is empowering us. I feel like the Lord is taking a blanket and He's throwing a blanket over this place. I feel like the Lord is saying, I want to blanket all of you. And I want to include all of you and your families, your extended family that's not even here. How many of you want your family to be included in this identity? Come on. How many of you want Jesus to shine through all your family members? Oh, my God. Come on. Yes. I really feel God wants to throw a blanket over us and say, you are all in one. You are, come on. Become mashed potatoes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were in one accord. And when they were in one accord, the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit is one thing. The only person that can tell you more about Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus without skin on. He knows everything about Jesus. And Father, I thank you tonight that this is a victorious night, where the march of all time, the victory of all time, I feel like we are into a moment here. Come on. Everybody say, intensify the identification of Jesus amongst us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Harvard University, if you are confused, we will tell you who He is. Come on. All our secular universities who are confused, professors, people that are supposed to be highly intellectual are confused because they don't know who He is. But the church is not confused. The church knows there's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. His name is Jesus. Come on, let's sing. Come on, let's sing.